Thank you, Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. I believe it. It's greater, stronger, better. You know? Thank you for that song, Sister Hannah. Let's go right along with our messages. You know, God works things always in mysterious way. God always synchronizes. The Holy Spirit synchronizes. And if we surrender to the Spirit of God, we'll be synchronized with one another, you know. My, thank you, Brother Carbo, also, for the vote of confidence. Not to me, but it is not me. Thank you, sister. It is that he has confidence in the same God that is in him. That God is confident in me as well. The same spirit that dwells in you, it dwells in me. And that's why you have confidence. You know, when I go out and preach, you know, someone else pulpits, you know, I always tell them, you know, thank you. Because not everybody will give the pulpit to somebody, you know. So, but they have confidence. The confidence that they have that I'm going to do what God, you know, will ask me to do. That I will surrender myself to God and the spirit that is in me, that is in them. That's what they're trusting. Because I cannot be trusted as a human being in flesh. I will fail you, but he will never fail us. Amen. So we thank you and for coming. You look good. You're smiling. You know, if your pastor will be here, he will be proud of you. You know, you want to make your pastor proud? All of you came back. So something must have happened. And I'm not the one that did made it happen. Something must have happened. But I tell you something. If the pastor is happy, the church is happy. God is happy. So I am so glad that you are back. And I know you're coming back because you love God and you love his word. And it's the truth. Amen. So let us quickly read a couple of verses. Romans 12:1-12:2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, again, this morning Paul says, I beg you, you know, and he's again, I'm begging you, see, I want you to listen, see, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, not to me, not to the church, not to Brother Doug. Your body needs to be acceptable to him. Everything that you do is not me that you have to please. Everything that you do has to please God. That's where you, in your walk, make sure that everything you do, you are pleasing God. It's not the church. It's not the people. Because when you please God and I please God and we all please God, there's happiness in the camp. Why? Because we are doing the will of God. It says, present your bodies living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. See? There's nothing unreasonable about the word of God. Nothing unreasonable. Man, yes, they have unreasonable, sometimes, a request from us. But God will not make an unreasonable request. And if he do, he will bring it to pass. So you don't even have to worry about it. How hard it is. Or how things are, the situation. Because God is able not only to push you in that situation, but he's able to take you out. See? But I don't think it's nothing unreasonable about God. God is a reasonable God. It's your reasonable service. See, God will not test you beyond. That would be unreasonable, right? That God will test us beyond our you know, capabilities, and then we fall, and then he blames us. That's very unreasonable. But God will not. They said, I will not tempt you further than you can go to your breaking point. He will not break us. And then if that wasn't enough, he says, and I will give you the answer, the way out. Man, who can give you those options? Not only I'm going to let you get in, but I'm going to let you get out. I'm going to show you the way out of that situation. He says in verse 2, Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, this age that we live in, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what we are here. We need to renew our minds. We need to be we remember, you know, trying to remind you the things that he has spoken, that you may prove, not to me, that you may prove to the church, no, that you may prove to yourself that that God that is in you is in you. How do you know God is in you unless you get tested, and then God comes in the scene, and then you can say, I have an experience with God. I believe. You don't need to prove it to me. God needs to prove that to you by the things that you go through, that God is in you and he's more than able. See? Not me. Not the church. You need to prove to God. And how he do it? By putting it into the situations. He says, the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, not in my side, not in the church side, but in the side of God. See, you prove yourself to him. You don't prove yourself to me. You don't prove yourself to the pastor, but I better give my reputation, I better do this. And you don't have to. But if you prove yourself to God and you're acceptable to God, you will be acceptable to the whole thing. I mean, that's all it is. I'm not here because I want the brother Doug to, okay, I'll come every day, so, you know, I'm good. No. My walk is to please God. And if I do that, and you do that, and you do that, things will work out. Because there's only one God. Our Father. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again. Father, we still want you to take us a little heart. This tonight, Father, we want to be a little closer to you, Father. We want to be a little closer to that you saw before the foundation, that image, Father. We want to be closer to our character. We want to be closer to the love that divine. We want to be closer, Father, to be all that you want us to be, Father. And I know that this is the day. This is the day that we can do that, Father, because we have everything, because everything that we have need is in the Holy Ghost. We are not lacking for nothing. So if we are not doing it, it's not our fault, it's not God's fault. It is our fault that we do not take advantage of what God has provided for us. And Father, we thank you. We ask you to come in the scene. Thank you to anoint me, anoint the congregation, Father, and let that anointing just fall right down into our hearts, Father, tonight, and speak to us, Father. Talk to us. That's what we want. Talk to us. Amen. Father, so we can say like Mary says, do unto us as you have spoken. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm sorry. So Paul, again, is begging. He appealing to the people. See? And by the mercies of God, this morning, excuse me, this morning, he was saying, you know, I beg you, you know, by the coming of the Lord and by the meeting, you know, this closer. So for that reason, you know, I'm trying to, you know, appeal to you to get closer, you know. Amen. Let your faith be active. Yes. It is time for that. So now he's saying, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in living sacrifice. Part is not good. You cannot give God a portion. He wants it all or nothing. That's your body, your soul, and your mind, and your spirit, the whole enchilada. He wants it all. See? So for us to keep apart or to decide to reason or, you know, make decision based on whatever, you know, God is in you. God wants to come to church. What are we going to tell God? You cannot come to church. I mean, God wants to come because the body is not complete until all the parts are in. And you are the local body. And without one of you, something is missing. You're missing a portion of God. Now, think about it. It's not you. When you don't come, we are missing a portion, a part that God has put in your heart. And if you just to come and say amen, if that is what God called you for, then come and say amen. If God called you just to clap and say glory to God, then do that. Whatever God called you to do, we need it. We need it. Maybe they call you like the musician to set an atmosphere so you can be blessed. If that's what we are called, let's do that faithfully. Without making excuses. Let's do it faithfully. He says, we have to make a decisive dedication of our whole self, not just part of it, see? We have to present our bodies, all the members, all our faculties, you know, don't leave nothing out. Don't leave anything out. Your brains, even though he can do nothing with your brain, but he needs to speak to your mind because you lost your mind. So forget about presenting your reasoning and your logic. Present your mind because he will speak to your mind and then it goes into your heart. But he needs everything. And everything has to be lined up. See? As a living sacrifice. Holy. Devoted. See? Consecrated to God. See? He called you. He saved you. He filled you. So he can consecrate a people to himself. A people to himself. It wasn't just for you and me to do whatever we want to do. See? As well, and well-pleasing to God. So are your life, my life, are pleasing God? Check what you're doing. Check it with his word and see if you're doing that. If you line up, then you're pleasing God. Otherwise, we're not pleasing God. Which is a reasonable, again, rational thing to do. Service and a spiritual worship to God. God wants us to turn ourselves completely. And that is our reasonable service. Forget about yourself. You're dead anyway. And God has quickened you. And that belongs to him now. See? So he is the one that decides. You know, he has your best interest in mind. Why not? God will not hurt you, destroy you, anything. In fact, God will bless you. If we walk in his ways, pleasing him to begin with. Amen. And conform to this age. And be ye transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. See what happened? His mind comes in, your mind goes out. And the more you come and renew, your mind gets full of him, and the other mind of flesh, it goes out. I'm not saying it's going to go out, but there's no more your thinking. There's no more your thought. Now it is his thought, his thinking, and what he wants. But for that, we have to empty ourselves. And the more we get and the more we empty, the more we can please God. Amen. And we are already here. Well, 1947, Brother Brian started preaching this message. That's about 75 years. And since he left in 1965, what, 60 years? And you've been in this message maybe 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years for me, maybe 40 years, 50 years. Where would you be at now? Oh, I'm not a child any longer. I'm not acting like a child. I used to be a child. But Paul is saying, you know, we need to grow. We need to grow. We come to church because we need to grow in the word. See? And the more we grow, the closer we get to him, because then you will lose in your mind and you will get in his mind. And that's what he wants. He wants you to lose your mind and renew it with his mind. And how is that going to happen? Obedience to his word. He says, an acceptable and perfect will of God. That is your good and acceptable will, which is acceptable and perfect in his sight. Amen. Let's go to kind of expand a little bit more on this subject. In fact, my title is called Shekinah Glory. And that is Shekinah, Chicana, whatever you want to pronounce it, still the same way. Now, don't do like I did. I went to Mexico, and I needed to translate that word, and I didn't know. So I went and said, Chicana. Well, it sounds like Mexicana, you know, like you know, said that. But I didn't know, you know, trying to find a word for it, and I didn't know. So I said, the Chicana glory. It's not the Mexican glory anyway. Or her Chicana glory. Anyway, so I had to learn these things just as you. Come on. I didn't mean to do that. Okay. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 9, 12 in order to take this thought, put it in this context and explain it. For we now, in part, and we prophesied in part. So Paul is saying, at one point, you know, we were quite limited. No, we didn't know everything. At one point, we were children, like it's going to say, you know, and we didn't know everything. Children don't know everything. We had to train them, right? In the way that God wants them to go. I mean, you don't expect miracles from the one day to the next day. It is a long process, and it's low and painful sometimes. But you add it. You know, you bring your children in the admonition of the word. You educate them. You tell them what's right, what's wrong. That's what you're, you know, responsible for your children, to bring them that way. But it takes time. I don't know how much time. You know, I've seen 20 years, I'm still acting like children. But, you know, they become adults at 20 years, whatever. They're still learning. I'm still learning. I told you this morning, I'm still learning words. See? So learning never stops until you're out of here. So we know by part, and we prophesy. See? And that is the same thing today. When we started this message, you know, right now we are way far here. But when this message started back, and with Luther, you know, Brother Branham brought us all the way to Luther, to the seven ages. You know, Luther had only a partial, limited understanding of God. And that's how children start. See, God started building the bride, you know, from the ground up. And that was just a partial knowledge. But that wasn't the full gospel. So you cannot expect too much with that. And you cannot expect too much with children when they start growing up. You cannot give them the full gospel. You start slowly, you know. Don't do that. That's not acceptable. You know, don't lie. Don't steal, you know. Because that's all they're going to understand at that point. So when God started building this bride, he started with justification. Now, Luther used to smoke and probably drink wine and steal. But he was not under a full gospel. You know, the word of God had been restored, but he wasn't. That was limited. So he got away with doing whatever. Then Wesley comes around. And now Wesley's saying, okay, Luther, you know, I understand that that's all you got, but there's more here. Now you need to sanctify yourself, right? But it still was limited. If it wasn't limited, then we would have been raptured a long time ago with Paul. Because then he had the full gospel. That he had the word restored completely. They couldn't have a rapture. You cannot have a rapture with limited, you know, resources, with limited word. So God continued working until he gets to the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we see that still, that's limited. Why? Because something is still missing. There was a part that was sealed and will not be open until the end. But now when we come to the 7th church, and the seals are open. Now, the prophet came, according to the message, he came to restore all that was lost, all the ends, you know, all the ends that were out there. He took from justification, from Wesley, here and there. And then he brought the whole message and restored the entire word of God. So that's what we got today. So today, we cannot claim ignorance. And today, that's why we don't preach Moses, because that was limited. That's the law. Nobody's saved by the law. We don't preach Luther. Now, I'm not saying we're going to do away with Luther message and with Wesley. No, we drag all that all the way here. Then the prophet shows up. Then the word is restored. Now there's no excuse. But that's what Paul says over here. We prophesy in parts, but that which is perfect, the whole thing will come totally. We have the word restored. When that comes, that's what's perfect. The perfect is the word of God. The perfect will of God can be done today. It was limited to them throughout the ages. But today, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. So Paul says, we are not children anymore. We got the full already. He says, perfect. It's come. Then that which in part, see, that was not complete. Now, Paul said it shall be done away. I don't think actually he meant that we don't need justification, that we don't need sanctification. We need all that. That is the perfect work in three always, you know. We cannot do away with justification. That's what some people in this message like to do. We got the word. We don't need anything else. We don't need Pentecost. When Brother Brown said that, that was the model. See? That was the beginning. So some people say, well, we got the word now. We don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need the gift. We don't need anything. According to, you know, because Paul said, don't away. See? They are void. They're superseded by the word. And the word is here, so. But that's wrong to me. We don't do away with anything. We just drag everything. Then it's just like a puzzle. What are you going to do? When you get to the end, you don't going to need the parts? You're going to throw parts out? Wow, this is, we don't need that. No, you need to see the whole picture. You have to have the puzzle. And you take yesterday, today, and tomorrow, whatever you put in there, you work every day. And then once you get the full picture, you don't go and do away with the little parts. Well, I don't need you. I don't need you. So you're going to destroy the picture. The reason we need it all, so we have a clear picture. They didn't have a clear picture then. They were limited in their understanding. They didn't have a full understanding. They didn't know God in the fullness as you and I know today. You know that God can be known fully today. He says, that which in part incomplete and shall be done away. See? When I was a child, then Paul starts playing. This is how it works. And I already explained it to you. I spake like a child, understood like a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Okay? But we don't do that with the law. And we don't do that. Well, we do that with the law because the law, after grace came, the law, we do away with the law. However, we think we do away with the law. But Jesus says, you know, if you love God, you know, you will love his word. You will do the law. You don't know that. But if you love God, you will not steal. You will not have idols. You will not false accuse. You will obey the law. You don't have to actually say, well, I'm doing the Ten Commandments. No. If you love God, you will obey. So we don't do away with him. It just is part of the last thing. It makes it all complete. What makes it complete? That was good. That's good. The Lord's good. This is good. This is good. But there's something greater than all these. And that great thing includes all these. So we don't do away. See, for we, he says, we see through a glass, you know, it's like a mirror in those days. In those days, you know, they didn't have glass like today and plastics. They have no technology. They're talking about bronze or some kind of a metal that shines, and they will beat it until they can see themselves. But it was still not clear. See? It was still not clear, the reflection. It was dark. See, it was dim. It was blurry. See, they couldn't see the full reflection in there. But then, face to face. See, that was yesterday. See? They were restored. And we could not see God in his fullness. But now, today, we can see him face to face. That means we know what we're looking at. It's clear. There's no excuses. We can see God in his fullness. You see, we cannot say, well, that's not clear to me. Well, I don't know about that. I don't understand that. Or this is not this is kind of grace area. There's no grace area. Today, there's no. It used to be. There's no more grace area because the gospel has been restored. The word has been restored completely. But face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, that I know, understand means to understand. Even I am known. So Paul is saying in the same manner that he is known, he will see himself clearly. Where? In the word. You can see yourself in the word. You can see who you are. All you have to do is open the mirror of the word. And with the word that is already completely restored, you can see clearly who you are today. See? Now, Brother Branham says over here, unveiling. But what is to be done in the last days? What is to reveal? Bring forth what Malachi 4 to do. Bring forth what Malachi 4 came to do. To turn the back the people from the stumbling block, to break down the traditions, and to reveal the bread with the Shekinah glory, which is ripened and produced just exactly what I said it will do. What are we here? This word needs to produce exactly what God said it will produce. And your job is to surrender to that work. God is doing a work, a change in your life. And it needs to produce that, because if it don't, God lie. God cannot lie. His word will not come back void. Whatever he says he's going to do, he will do it. We can fight, but you can run, but you cannot hide. He will find you. If you are shallow God, he will find you sooner or later. And the sooner you surrender, the better for you. Because that's a miserable life, running away from God. You know, away from his will, you know. He says, they turn back to the people from the stumbling block to the break down the tradition and rebuild the bread with the Shekinah glory. Watch, it's ripened and produce just exactly what it said it will do. Oh my, the showbread for this age. If this word do not produce Christ in flesh, I will be disappointed. But that's what this word came today. Amen. Is to reproduce, to produce Christ in you. Amen. The hope of glory. It says, and this is the time of ripening. This is the time. We are here. We are laying in the sun, S-U-N, S-O-N. So we can ripen, so we can mature. See, and produce that fruit. The denomination, stopping block, a bunch of fanatics, but we believe. But now, in Revelation 10, he has promised all the mysteries of God that been hid in pages down to the seven ages, years, will be ripened. This is the time of ripening. This is the time of maturity. This is not the time of being children. This is the time of lay in the sun and let that fruit come forward. See, this is the time that we show our colors. See? And where we need to ripen, mature to the image that God has for us. See? Christ in us. He says, all the mysteries of God has been hidden the pages down through the year would be ripened, brought forth in the age of the seven angel message. So this message needs to produce Christ. It will produce Christ in you. And it is time now that we see that Christ in us. We need to see Christ walking, talking, acting in everything that we do. We need to give him all the glory, give him all our mind, our body, so God can perform what he said he wants to perform. He wants to walk, he wants to talk, he wants to see, he wants to handle things through you and through me. It says, open through force in the seven angels' messages. Is that right? Congregation, saying amen. Now, 2 Corinthians 3 says, 3:13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look, you know, to gaze to him, look at him, to the end of which is abolished, Paul says. You know, he passed away. They were looking at Moses, the law. And he has to be veiled, see, because they could not. And they were afraid, you know, of the brightness of God. And Moses saw God face to face, see. But he didn't see his face. He see the back part of it, because the law was not fully known to them. See, but to you and I, we got the whole thing now. The full glory at that time, Moses didn't know him fully. He knew him by in parts only, in the back part. But that what is done away now today, we can see him face to face. See, you and I probably would say, oh, I like to be in the time of Moses when God came down. You know what? You got something better than that. You can behold the glory of God face to face right now, tonight. You can behold them, see? But Moses could not see God's full glory. So we are living in an age that they all wanted to live. Today, we can, you know, behold his glory completely. No excuses. There's nothing left out. See? Moses' glory fade away over time. See? Because he has to. By contrast, our experiences that we have with the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, that is continuously. You know, that will never fade away. The Holy Ghost that is in you will be with you here all the way to your journey and will provide everything that you have need. You have lack of nothing today, and not only here, but in the life to come. See, Moses didn't have that choice. That thing faded away because the Lord needed to fade away. The Lord could not make anybody whole. See? So he had to fade away. And today, you know, it is far from fading. God's glory continues to be revealed, you know, every day. Every time we preach, every time we open the Bible, every time we experience God, you know, his glory continues. That's why we come to church. We want to hear, we want to see, we want to experience the revealed word of God. Because it's continuously. See, we're growing continuously, and then we are trying to mature. That word has to bring you to maturity. Amen? Even unto death. You know, this is not ending when we die. It's continuous all the way to eternity. See? But their minds, 14, but their minds were blinded. And that's how this age is going to end already, blinded. See, some reason they became dull. They started complaining, and then they lost the power. All understanding the word, and that's what happened today. You know, they have a form, but they don't have the understanding. They have the letter, but the letter by itself killeth, and the spirit will give quicken the word. They don't have the spirit to quicken the word in their hearts, so they can be changed. They argue with you, but they argue you with the letter, and they tell you and quote what the letter says. Jesus said here this, this, and this, and you cannot argue with the word. They just don't have the full, you know, the full comprehension of the word that you and I have today. Why? Because the Holy Ghost in you, God in you, will fill that other element, the supernatural element. They don't have the supernatural element. You know, Brother Branham one time, he's saying, you know, my wife writes me a letter, you know, and I know what she means. You know, I love you, honey. I miss you. And then he said he can read between lines. And he said, I know exactly what she means. She missed me, yeah. And then he started, you know, you start thinking, you know, the time that you spend with her and doing this and that. So that is the part that the denomination are missing. You know? That part that is in between the letter. They got the letter, but that's all. They don't have the supernatural part that they need. You need those two elements. You need the word, and you need the truth, but you need the spirit. Because the letter by itself will kill you. That means it will not change you. It will not change you. Not change them. So the Israelites, they never witnessed the full glory of God. With the law, they couldn't. It was partial. It was done. See, and the promise come only to us in the new covenant, not in the old covenant. It's a new covenant that promises us, you know, the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is what? In Christ Jesus, God fulfilled that covenant. It is only in that new covenant that the Spirit produces obedience. I told you this morning, the hardest thing for a man to do is to obey. Why? Because you cannot obey unless you have the Holy Spirit in you. David said, you know what? I have put the word in my wrist, in my head. I have put it in my heart so I will not sin against God. But he went and sinned. You know why? Because he couldn't help it. He couldn't help it because the word, even though, you know, he read it and he meditated on it, but he needed something more than that to change that life. See, that life could not change under the blood of bulls and goats, you know. That was just a covering. But the person goes every year and the high priest goes in and, you know, pray and forgive their sins, and they go back in there, they offer their blood and all these things, but they go back. You know, It's just like I said sometime, some denomination, I don't want to mention, but you go every week, Sunday, and you empty your bag of sins, you know. What? And you, if we forgive your son, you know, says so many Hail Marys and do all this and that. But then they leave it there, then they go back and fill it up the rest the next week. It never ends. Never change. I want to change. You know. So the Holy Spirit in our life is what changes and is that produces obedience in our hearts. You cannot obey God unless you have the Holy Ghost in your heart. You can try all you want. But the only one that can change me and you and your life and make us obedient is the Holy Spirit. And then we have to still surrender to the Holy Spirit so God can do that work in us. David wanted to. At least David had a desire to serve God and to do what was right. He couldn't. But you and I have a greater thing than that law. God in you, if you surrender to the Spirit, you will be obedient to God. You cannot do it on your own. I don't care how much you can justify things. I don't care how much you can figure it out. In yourself, you will never be obedient to God. It takes a power greater than you. Because Satan, you cannot fight with Satan. He will put blocks in your way, delusions, you know, lies. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we fall right with it. But 15 on second, whatever 15 I am. But even unto this day, see, Moses is read. See, the Jews are still reading the Torah and they're still going through the rituals and going to the temple, but they still have the bell in their minds. See, that bell is still there. Until one of these days, God will come. He will manifest. He will go to them. He will send the two prophets. And the sixth message that you and I believe, it will go to them. And they will have eyes up. And their eyes will be open. See? And that veil is going to be taken out. Amen. 17, 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn, see, when they turn into repentance to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In the meantime, you know, I look at all these books that are there written by Jewish people, like that one that is called, I forgot the one. Anyway, but this written, and I was telling my wife, you know, it sounds good. You know, they're Jewish, they know the law, they know the word, you know, written, the written word, but they don't have understanding yet. The Jews don't have the veil. So to read those books and follow all that things, they don't have the understanding that you and I have. I mean, it sounds good, and people buy it, and people follow these moons, and people follow all these things, because just a Jewish rabbi, as far as I know, God has not made himself fully known to those people yet. So whatever they write, it's going to be limited, partial to their word. Now the Lord is that Spirit. 17, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know what? If you have the Spirit of God, you should be free. You should be free to choose Him. You should be free to choose what He wants. You should be free, you know, to do all that He begs you to do. You know, you are not being set free to do what you want. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. See? So he jumped from one to another one. He was a prisoner of the devil. Now we are a prisoner of God. The freedom, the liberty that we have is to let God have his way. That's all. And Paul says, if where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty, emancipation. We're not in bondage anymore. See? We are free. We got freedom to serve God. That is the only choice that we have. If you say, well, I'm free and I got rights and I can do this if I want to. But that's not freedom. You know, many soldiers died during the wars, and now many people are dying. There's a lot of blood that was shed to pay for this liberty that we are enjoying in America. Somebody has to pay for your freedom and my freedom so we can do the things that we like to do, worship, come to church. Some countries, they cannot do that. But people shed the blood. So we had the liberty to do this. not to do what we wanted to do. Well, that wasn't my fault. Well, dummy, he didn't need to go ahead and die. Well, you know, that's not my fault. Well, that was Adam. That wasn't my fault. You know, but people die and shed the blood for you to have the liberty to choose to serve God. Jesus Christ shed his blood. And the only one who shed his blood so you could be free to choose to do the right things. You know, that's the only choice you have. I told you, I got one choice, life or death. And either way, I had to do both. If I choose life, I had to die. And if I choose death, I had to die. In a way, I had to die. But I choose life. Amen. But I had to die to my reasoning, to my thoughts, to my ways. See? And the more we experience the glory of God, the more we walk with God, the more we get closer to God, the more we experience his grace and his mercy. You know, we learn, you know, how to love God more and more and more. And that is going beyond the veil. Let me read this. 18. But we all, with open faith, beholding the word, you know, beholding the word of God as in a glass, beholding the glory of the Lord. And we are changing, you see, into the same image that we are looking at. We are changing onto his very own image. So as we look into the word, and we start knowing God's desire, God's will for us, and God will change us to that. So we are seeing more clear. The more clear God shows who he is, the more clear I can know myself. So we come to church to know who we are. Amen. And we are sons and daughters of God. And then we are changed into the same image, his very own image, the image of God, in ever increasing splendor. See, from glory to glory. See, God is providing full experience. Every time we come to church, you need to experience a little bit more God in your life. That's what the whole walk is. The whole walk is to be to learn obedience and experience God in our life as we walk. And one is that we experience God so much, you know, that we see him as he saw us in the beginning, before the foundation. God is providing that experience for us, even by the Spirit of the Lord, by his Holy Spirit. Amen. Look, I want to read, I'm really done with the scripture, but I want to read here now. I hope you suffer me about 5 quotes that I have. I'm not the greatest, you know, English reader, so you just follow there. And if I make a mistake, you just get the right thing there. Okay, that's why we do that. I'm glad that that is here, because I don't even understand myself sometimes. Look, the people who eat the manna out here on the ground was eating the same manna that the high priest was eating and under the Shekinah glory. But this manna withered away out of, in, on the ground. But that in the hidden place never did wither. See? And the priest will eat. Every time they have new priest come, they give him that manna. And we're still eating from that manna. See? It lasted through the span of years, and a man who walked in there when the high priest went beyond the veil, that veil that separated the holiest from the holiest of holies, when he walked in there, the veil dropped behind them. That man, it was even soundproof. That means you don't hear anything. He did not. He was shut off from all the world. See, from this age and the surrounding, he know nothing in there but the living in the presence of God. See, that's what Shekinah means. It means a dwelling of God. The presence of God is in there. See, and we need to go beyond. See, we need to go behind that veil. If we want to experience God, we need to go in there. Because everything dropped off. He said he didn't. He showed up from all the world and the surrounding. He know nothing there but the living in the presence of God. And a man or woman that ever walks in that Shekinah glory of God, the whole world shuts up behind him. So what you do, testify where you are. What you do, define your walk. Do we are in there or we are out? Amen. Or we're partially out and partially in. One leg there and one leg over here. If we love the things of the world, we don't love God. You know, the Bible says the love of God is not in us. We need to immerse ourselves completely in that sight. We need to disappear completely from this world, at least in that Shekinah glory. The world shut up behind him. No matter what the devil says, you don't pay any attention to it. So let him do, let him roar. You know, don't be alarmed, don't get excited, don't be troubled, don't be stable, because he can do nothing to you. If you are behind that veil, he cannot even, unless it's your brother, he can go in there, and he will not go in there. So you're safe, always, in his arm. Amen. He knows nothing in there but the living and the present. And man or woman that ever walks in that glory, the whole world shuts off behind him. No matter what the devil says, you don't pay any attention to it. That's what Eve probably was. She stopped to pay attention. He said, and he's living in a different atmosphere. See, he lived in there where they put Aaron's rod, and it was nothing but an old destick of an olive tree. But once it lays in the presence of God, it yielded what was supposed to be the beginning. One time we were dead and dry sticks until we came into the presence of God. And then it said, but once lay in the presence of God, it yielded what is supposed to be the beginning. The beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the end. If we are laying there, God will bring us to what we're supposed to be. God will mature us. The more time we spend in there, the more mature we get. There's no way you can spend time with God and come out the same way. There's no way. If we are walking and we're still the same way, maybe we're not spending enough time in that behind that veil. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's spend some time behind that veil. Amen. And change will come, because God cannot lie to us. Brother Branham cannot lie to me and tell me, you go there and this is what happened, and I do it and it don't happen. There's no way. In the nighttime, budded, blossomed, and brought almonds. That's the same way. That an unbeliever or sinner is ever laid in the presence of Almighty God under the influence of the Holy Ghost, he becomes a new creature right then. See, his life becomes fruitful, fresh. Life comes in and he yields what he's supposed to be. Our life needs to produce what we're supposed to be. As sons of God, he was took off the tree, so was the olive branch. He was took off the tree, but sinners, lukewarm church members, become dry sticks with some kind of a memory, living in memory lane, you know, in the past or in the future, that sometimes there were a supernatural God of the past that had life and way back there. But if you believe and lay in the presence of till produces the same thing to you, you will realize you were born son and daughters of God, and will yield the fruit of the Spirit, but you cannot do it there in the courts. Talking about the three. You know, the courts, the outer courts, the holy, and the holy of holies. See, outside that you cannot produce it. Having a leg out and one in will not produce it. We have to completely, body, soul, mind, completely surrender ourselves to God completely. Don't leave nothing out. Nothing else. Then a man out in the court, he walks by daylight. Some days it was like this, raining, or other days it was sunny, would shine, and the night time would be dark and stormy. He had his ups and downs. That's the way you see people. Oh, they say they are living out there, eating it in an atmosphere that they should not eat in it. The next man, he has another light. See, that was the man at the altar. He was led by seven, that's the second, the holy, the seven golden candlestick, a little lamp. And sometimes the lamp burns low, see, and goes out. And a man who comes to that place where he comes into the church out, it says, of the core, out of the lukewarm church members, see, and come up like pretty, out of the core, out of that just lukewarm church member, and come to live a pretty good life in Christ. He is separated and things from the, but he will still living under lights that will get dim and smoke up an artificial light. But then when he wants, he walking behind the Holy of Holies, and that's what I want to get, walking to the presence of God, and the veil falls behind him. There's a pot of manna where he can eat every day, every hour of the week. There's where he's living in that glory, where the interlocked wings of the cherubims, the great pillar of fire, and the Shekinah glory rested there, and he's living under there. He cannot be nothing but a real, genuine Christian anytime in that atmosphere. So you know where we need to be living. You know where we need to be at today. We need to ripen, and this is the only way we're going to ripen, being in that, behind that veil. Man and a woman who live in there misunderstood. You see it? They become peculiar. Odd, Brother Man said, they don't hear the things of the world. If they do, they don't pay attention to them. They just move on. God never put that in there for nothing. God never come for just any. Hops our way, see? Prayer is not perhaps. Prayer is a sincere thing. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is not to get down, shut your eyes, and thinking about your washing and your work and this and that. Lord, help me. And John, and he'll miss John, so forth. That's not prayer. That's repeating some word. But prayer is to come into that atmosphere where you realize that you are in the presence of God and you are moving to the in the deepest and sincerity. First, it is worship, Jehovah, how I love you. You see? Then after the worship prayer, then you come with sincere heart asking, if you abide in me, not go out from behind the curtains and in the to the world today and run around and try to get back into the curtain, you know, tonight, you know. So come to church, get in, and then go back outside and do the same thing. No. He said, if you abide in me, and he's not saying abide in me Sunday or Wednesday. He said, abide in me. That's all the time, all day long. Abide in me. My words abide in you. Otherwise, if you are like iron rod that's pulled up from the glory by the golden pot and manna, where you can eat at any time, and your soul is refreshed, I'm blooming and yielding, abiding. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, and it will be given to you. Amen. I got one more. You see, the failure of the church, the Pentecostal church and Methodist, the Baptist and all, it is failing to that abiding grace of God. Tonight, you will shout and clap your hands and dance in the aisles, speaking tongues. That's give. Give is no good unless... He's not saying they're bad. Unless we are abiding in that Shekinah glory. That's the presence of God. He says, those things are fine. I have nothing to say against them, he says. They are God. Shouting and blessing God is wonderful. Speaking in tongues, translation of tongues, I mean, interpretation of tongues. Is that the same? But all these other things, gift of healing, prophecies, and all these things are marvelous, but they are not good. They are not fruitful. They cannot yield the right unless you're living in the presence of the Shekinah glory. See, they are good. And I always said, I like it. I like to have fun. I like to run around. I like to scream. I like to yell. But one thing, I don't rely on that. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning to create the atmosphere. God's presence come down, but now it is time to get into his presence. Because that is what changed you. Amen. Speaking in tongues and, you know, and doing all these things will not change you. It is good. I'm not against it. But the problem is, after doing all that, we need to come into his presence. Amen. That's what changed you. And they said the Pentecostal, that's what they went wrong. That's the reason that men and women are not permitted to these things, because you do go out here and call blessing over something that is a curse. A curse, something God has blessed. You know what he's saying? Some people say calling good bad and bad good, you know? It is abiding presence to know the will of God. Then don't look what the world going to say about you. It is what God thinks about you. Then you are living in his presence. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we have everything. Everything that you need right now to go from earth to heaven, it's in you already. By the Holy Ghost, God has provided you with everything. Right now, you're lacking nothing. See, we need to appropriate ourselves from those things. You know, we need to, you know, use those things that God has given us. God's given us the best thing he could give us. And he gave us his word as a protection. I mean, that is the weapon that we have. We have a weapon that is even go beyond, you know, whatever, you know, Satan can throw at us. Our weapons will work. The word of God will work against Satan any place, any time, in any circumstances. Listen, brother and sister, talking this morning about faith being active. I am talking about, you know, we're supposed to be overcomers. We're not supposed to be overcome. We are to that point. We are victorious. We are not victims anymore. We have come to a place that we need to grow because we got the word. That is the best weapon that God could have given us against Satan. And we have it today. God has equipped us with everything that we need today. Amen. We should not be afraid to use it. We should not be afraid of the devil. We should not be afraid. In fact, he is the one that should be afraid. In fact, Satan should be having a heart attack every morning when I get up. Oh, you guys got to go and watch that guy. No, not me. Yesterday I went over there and my wings were cinched, you know. I don't want to go there. Send somebody else. You said it is time that we rise up. It is time that we use what the God-given right that he has given on his word. And it is time that we have faith and put it in action. It is time that we take our faith and put it out there. It is time to grow up. It is time to go in the presence of God and mature and let all those things come out. We are not victims. He is a victim. Satan is. We have victory. God promised to us victory. We have victory in Christ. So we don't have to be murmuring and complaining because we are in the winning team. Because God says so. The word is our protection today. Amen. We are more than overcomers. No? When Satan comes around, tell him. You know, he can tell anything he wants about you, but you tell him, hey, you don't. I know myself. Let me feel some more stuff here. But at the end, you said, see, I've been forgiven. I'm a new creature in Christ. We don't need to be going out there with our heads bowed. We don't need to be walking, you know, like we are defeated. You know what? We are undefeated. The one that is defeated is Satan, and he knows he's undefeated. He wants you to believe that you are the one defeated. But let me tell you tonight, he's defeated already. And he knows it. He has bought a little bit of time, and he's trying to head you up and do whatever damage he's going to do. But you know, when he comes to you, tell him, you know what? Yeah, we're in that kicking team, and we're going to throw you in that lake of fire. And you know where I'm going? I'm going to heaven, everlasting life. We need to put our faith, as this morning I was saying, in action. It is time that we ripen. It is time that we have enough spirit. It is time that we spend time in the presence of the Lord. It is time that we tell the devil what to do. You know, when he speaks, when his lips are moving, he's lying to you. Because he's the father of lies. You know, when he starts speaking to you, you know, you have the right to chase him out. He knows that. See, if we ever learn the authority that we have, the authority that he has given to us, you will never walk with your head down. Sickness, what's that? He's my healer. Satan wants to point with sickness. You know? You tell Satan, what are you talking about? You know, God is my healer. And he heals all my diseases. What happened was that Satan wants you to look at your diseases. Satan wants you to look at your problems. Satan wants you to look at your situation. But the Bible said, don't look at your situation. Look at what God has said. See, it's what God believes, what he says about you, that what you think about yourself. But that takes faith, and that takes a strong hand to hold that word of God and go out there and shout. Listen, the war is already won. It's already won. All you have to do is just get out there and just find your way out. Because God already has done that for us. Christ already came. He died for us. The victory is ours. All we have to do is to appropriate ourselves with that victory. Satan will lie to you every day. And we are more than overcomers. Amen. In Christ Jesus. You know, it is time that we realize who we are. It is time to realize that we are sons and daughters of God. You know, when you graduate from university, it says, with all the honors and all the benefits and responsibilities, with all, you know, they grant you a degree. And you are being granted a degree already. You are sons and daughters of God with all the benefits. You know, the word of God will come to pass. It will not come up, boy. And he says that you are a son of God. Now. He didn't say tomorrow. You are now. So when Satan comes to you, you tell him, I am now. I'm not going to be, I am now a son of God. And therefore, I got the authority to cast you out. I got the authority to kick you out if I want. You know, you say, well, you're going to talk that way. Satan is good. What is he going to do? He cannot take my life. Because my life is already taken. Listen, he cannot separate me from the love of God. Because nothing can separate me from the love of God. He cannot harm me at all. He cannot even a hair from my head. He can't even bother. See, because God has given me his word. God has given me the best protection, the best weapon that anybody could have. You know that word, when it's spoken through human lips, you can move mountains. When that word is spoken, through a human being, God's word, God through you speaking, things have to move. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever happened to you, you need to realize that tonight you're going to have to speak yourself into existence. You got to speak, speak yourself into, a son and daughter of God. You know, it is you that's going to change your body. It is your confession that is going to change your body. Some of us, we don't change and we're still in the same way we do because we don't take the time, to pray, to get in that presence and to learn that all things, not just one or two, all things are possible to us. This change, God is not waiting. We're not waiting on God for the change, for the rapture is overdue. God is waiting for you and I to take that word and change ourselves and change our bodies. That word, we change it. Why? Because we profess what he said in heaven, we voice it in earth, and it has to happen. He said, I am a son of God today. Oh, but look at what you did yesterday. But I'm not looking at that. I already confessed it. And anyway, that wasn't me. You're going to pay for it. Okay? Because God says, I will forgive you. If you, confess your sin, he is more than faithful to forgive and to cleanse you. So that cannot lie. He do that. So once you do that, you repent and you come with all wholehearted to him and you ask for forgiveness, you're back into fellowship with God completely. So when Satan comes and you did this, you did this, you did that, say, okay, show me that. Then, like Brother Brown says, he goes out there and look at, when that time comes and the accuser says, well, wait a minute, I got something on him. What's wrong with this record? All the pages are blank. What happened? God erased it all. Amen. You know that he don't have nothing on you tonight? You know that you are free and he has nothing on you to accuse you. The only thing he can do is what you allow him to do. But the accuser is coming down and we're going up. And that's all it is. Tonight, you're going up and he's coming down. Amen. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. So, you are sons and daughters of God tonight. And God has given you His word. It is time that we put that word into practice. It is time that we take our faith and put it out there. It is time that we claim what is ours. Every inch, we're going to have to fight for it, but it's ours already. God already has given it to you, your family, whatever you lost, everything He has given back to you. But you're not going to sit down and say, well, I'm sitting down until God make all things and bring all things into His control under His feet. No, you're going to have to fight for every inch. But when we go into war, we got the best weapon that we need. We got His word. He said, I can go free. He said that I'm a new creature in Christ. He said that I am His child. He said that I'm holy. He said that I am virtuous, the bride of Jesus Christ, with no spot and no wrinkles. Amen. That's what He says. And that's what I repeat. Amen. Tonight we should just lift our hands and tell Him, Lord, do unto me as You have spoken. Amen. Like Mary said, do unto me according to what You have spoken. Amen. God will bring it to pass. He's just looking for some faithful soldiers, or some faithful people that will believe God. That's the best thing you can do. You want to honor God? Believe His word. Amen? Amen. Well, it was short, but I know I kept you a little longer this morning, so I hope you realize who you are and what you are. God does not make junk. I don't care what the devil will tell you. God do not do that. God made things perfect. You know what perfect means? No imperfections in it. Yeah, but I'm not perfect. Well, this is the way you look at yourself. I know there's nothing in this thing. This thing is already condemned. It has to pay. But you know, this is not what God intended. It's corrupted. But there's something else in me, the real me, Brother John, the real me, that never done it. See? I never done it. I'm justified. He did it. I never done it. He's going to pay for that. And you need to remind her, yes, I did that, but you paying for it. See? Because there's a new creature in me. There's a new me. Amen? And I'm looking forward for that day when He comes. And my body will be changed to the image, to His image. We will all be like Christ. We all have that glory. I'm looking forward to I'm tired of this body. I'm tired of Eli, actually. I'm just so sick and tired of this guy. You know? But you're going to have to fight him. You know, I'm not your enemy. You are your worst enemy. You're going to have to fight him all day long. Because Satan is allowed to use it. See, you got something greater. You are victorious. You own the gate of your enemy. You know what the gate? Your mind comes into your mind and goes into your heart, but you own that gate. And when Satan comes and speaks to you, you shut the gate. I ain't got time. Talk to the hands. I just don't have time for you. Yeah, but you did this and this happened. I says, I ignore him. I hear him. He speaks to me every day. But you know what I do? Oh, that's not me. Because it's not you. Those are his thoughts. Those are not your thoughts. So you can tell him, that's not me. That's you. So then I just ignore him completely because that's not me. That's not the one that God is looking at. Every day I have to fight. See? But I tell him, you know what? I don't say matter. God is going to have His way. God will finish this work, sister, in our lives. Ignore Him. Ignore means, you know, don't pay attention to Him. Because that's what Eve did. He stopped to pay attention. And He paid dearly with her life. When He comes to you, Just tell him who you are and tell him who he is. You are a son and a daughter of God. And his end, tell him what his end will be, and tell him what your end will be. Glory, sitting in the throne with Jesus Christ ruling, and his end is down to the lake of fire. Listen, my friends, it is time. It is time. It's too late. Playing church is over. This message needs to produce what it's supposed to produce. Malachi 4 needs to produce sons and daughters of God fully restored with the power of the spoken word. If that don't happen, I will be disappointed, but I know God is not going to disappoint me. So I'm looking at daughters, I'm looking at sons of God. It is time that we grab our sword, the word of God. It is time that we get up, rise up. You know, men of valor, rise up and just cut yourself through. You know, the world's going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. Don't expect that this thing is going to get better. But one thing you have going for you, that you will get better. God in you will grow. You experience God and you grow and you grow and you will get better. You know, the world is going into chaos. The world is going down into destruction. But you are not going to experience destruction. See, you cannot die as much as God can die. Amen. You have something. You have a hope that the world cannot give to you. You have a hope that only God can give to you. And we're holding on to that. That's why we're not going crazy today with all this stuff going out there. I mean, I read. My wife likes to read. I don't read. I tell my wife, don't read. She tried to read me Google. Look at what happened here. Look at these people died. I said, hey, please, I don't want to know. You know, the less I know, the better I am, please. She said, but you don't have to worry. No, it's not that I don't want to worry. I know what's going on out there. I know what's going to happen. But I'm not blaming her. She just likes to be informed. I mean, she was like, that's inside better. She will buy the Sunday paper every Sunday. She will read, and I don't read. I just not. I like to read, but I like to read things that I like to read. You know, I like psychology, human behavior. I like mechanical things, electronic things, but the paper, they call the news. You know, that's the same news every day with a different color. The dog, with the same dog with different color on it. Somebody, yeah, saw the same thing. Different people. Sorry, I got you standing up so much. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again. Father, we thank you for that light that you had deposited, the love that you had deposited in our heart. Thank you for your Holy Spirit tonight that guide us and lead us. Thank you, Father, for that life that you have quickened us, Father. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We thank you, Father, because you chose us, Father. You called us. You predestined us, Father. Father, I didn't know. We didn't know at one time. We were just walking just like everybody in the world doing our thing until one day, Father, you revealed yourself to us through your word. Now we knew. I didn't know all this mess. I didn't know I was chosen from the foundation of the world until you came. You opened my eyes. You opened my understanding. And I started seeing myself every time I read, every time I pray, every time I look at your word in the mirror. That I started understanding who I am and what I am. I'm not that person that I was before, that I thought I was, and Satan kicked me and dragged me, and he abused me, and he did whatever he wanted to do. But that is over. That is over. I'm not that person any longer. I am a new creation. You have come and you have made that, Father. And I love you because I didn't know. I'm so glad. I am so glad. I am so blessed, Father, that you chose me, because I wouldn't choose myself. But I'm thanking that you love me, Father. You love me enough to come after me and pursue me and bring me back. Thank you, Father. Father, I owe you, and I cannot repay you tonight. Though the things that you have done in my life, Father, you have restored my family. You have restored marriage. You have done marvelous things in my life, Father. I cannot deny, Father, all the good things that you have done in my life. You are a good God, marvelous God. Father, I don't know what I will do without you. Now that I know you, I don't know how to live without you. I prefer to die to live one day without you, Father. Father, I depend so much on you. Father, I care for the things that you care for. Father, I love your people. Father, I love your word. Father, I love everything in you, Father. I'm glad that you came into my life. I am so glad. Father, I just want to be faithful to you. I want to return whatever I can return. Even if it's just whatever is left in me, I just want to surrender. Use it, Father. Use it for your glory and your honor, Father, tonight, Father. Father, again, thank you. We appreciate you tonight. Thank you for your children that they come out to listen at your word. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement and the hope that you have given us. Father, we are not a defeat people. Maybe sometimes Satan knocks us down, but we are not out. We are not defeated. We cannot be defeated. We already won this war. We already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we already, potentially, Brother Man said that we already raptured. And Satan sometimes comes. Sometimes we go through our things and we get frustrated. Sometimes we lose our way, we lose our direction. Nevertheless, we're not lost because God knows exactly where we are. And he comes right after us. He comes after us every time. Because he says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. What a promise. Thank you, Father. Like I said, we cannot repay you. But I'd like to surrender my life to you tonight. And I want to do all that I can do for the kingdom of God. Father, I want to be obedient. Father, I want to believe you. Father, I want to walk with you every day. Father, so help us tonight. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered so much for us. How can we just deny after he went through what he went through? How can we just don't do what he asked us to do after he went what he went through? The suffering, the pain. Oh God, the blood. Father, thank you once again. Even when I was a sinner, you still love me. And I thank you for that. Bless your people, Father, tonight. Bless our pastor. Bless this congregation. Bless your bride around the world. Cover her. Keep her, Lord, from all that evil and all the temptation that comes around. Father, protect our families, Father. We pray for our families. We know that we can claim our family. We pray for our families. In the meantime, protect them, Lord. Father, put a hedge around them that Satan will not come, that we can go on and destroy them, Father. We have that power. We can pray. We do can pray. We can intercede, Father, for our families. We can intercede for one another. We can pray. Even if that's all we can do, just go in our closet. And pray that God will keep us. Father, we thank you once again. There's just no way I can describe what I feel. No, I know we don't go by feeling, but thank you. If I don't have no feeling, I'm dead. I feel your presence, and I know you're here. Reward your children tonight. Father, reward them for the effort they have made to come, for the effort they have made to be awake and listen at your word. Reward them, Father. Speak to their heart tonight. Father, bless them and take them home, sound and safe, Father. And if it's another time that we come together, Lord, until then, Father, keep us and watch over us. We love you and we appreciate everything you do. Father, want to say I appreciate everything you do. I appreciate everything you do through your children. I appreciate the deacons. I appreciate the musicians. I appreciate every one of you that came, the Sunday school. That is God working through you. And when we say thank you, Lord, we need to thank Lord, because God is the one moving, talking, doing. And that's what God wants to do. And I thank you for this church. Thank you for my pastor. I thank you, Lord, from the bottom of my heart, Father. There's no place I'd rather be but right here, right now, with my brothers and sisters. Thank you. I appreciate them. And thank you for the time, Father, that they have given this tonight. Bless them completely in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you these things. Amen and amen. Victims, we are victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Again, we may come, we are conquerors. We are not being conquered, we are conquering, overcomers. Yes.